Blog Talk Radio.
This spring, NASCAR returns to Richmond International Raceway. We're going back to our roots with 3 days of fun-filled racing. The on-track action starts Friday, April 22nd, and continues all weekend long. Kids get in free to pole day on Friday and the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. And then on Sunday afternoon, it all culminates with the Toyota Owners 400. Lock in your tickets today at RIR.com and get ready for a 3-day weekend like no other. It's NASCAR at RIR, and you've got to see it.
Hi, I'm Cameron Haley, driver number 13, Matei Tundra for Thor Sport Racing and the Camping World Truck Series. You're listening to the Pit Stop Radio with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening from Dega Nation. I'm Tim Despain alongside my good friend and CEO of Speedway Digest, Stephen Wilson. I've got a lot to talk about coming off the race out there at Texas, so I'm going to go ahead and get everything started with the invocation and the national anthem, and then we'll get talking. Start heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I'm doing all right. It's cold and raining and all that kinds of stuff back up here in Virginia. I want to go back down south where I was.
Yeah, I was texting AM whenever y'all was coming back from where y'all were at, and y'all were living in some very nice weather coming back to. I don't know if there was snow on the ground when y'all got back, but I'd seen some pictures from some parts in Virginia where there was light up.
Yeah, apparently there was snowing the day prior to us coming back up here, so we missed out on that, which I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, good to have you back on, bud. Glad we're all back together. I had a couple of weeks off, my little back surgery I had, and you had a week off, and I want to thank you again for filling in while I had to take them a couple of Tuesdays off, and I want to thank Mr. Tom Marquis, from At the Balance Radio for helping out also. I sure do appreciate that.
Yeah. Had a couple of weeks off, everybody. So, you know, we're all back together. And, yeah. We had Texas this past weekend. This is coming up this weekend. So, it's all good time.
Exactly. We got a lot to talk about. Just let everybody know the number to call in is 215-383-3631. Our guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, driver number 83, Cosmos Motors Toyota NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, Mr. Matt Benedetto. We'll have him coming on, and he run double duty last weekend. He's running double duty again this weekend at Bristol, Stephen. And we got a lot to talk about before we come up on the bottom of the hour. So I'll go ahead and get everything started. Kyle Busch swept the weekend again. I had to say it before you throwed it out there, and I think Chris Knight said, I was listening to some of the media center's audio, and I think Chris said, Stephen, quote me if I'm wrong because I can't remember everything, this is the first time that four races in a row have been won since, I think, 1991 when Harry Gant done it.
Yeah, something like 1991 when Harry Gant did this. I can't remember the exact year, but Chris Knight nailed that fact down. I can't remember the exact year, but he was spot on what the year was.
I can't either, but, you know, our good friend Chris Knight from out there at CatchBS.com, he does a really great job, too. Well, let's go in. I'm going to start with the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Kyle Busch won the 20th annual O'Reilly Auto Parts 300, his 80th victory. Listen, people, his 80th victory in 316 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. This is his fourth victory, his fifth top 10 finish in 2016. This is his eighth victory and 16th top 10 finish in 20 races at Texas Motor Speedway. Excuse me. Eric Jones finished second, posted his third top 10 finish in 3 races at Texas Motor Speedway. It is his fourth top 10 finish in 2016. Brad Keselowski finished third, posted his 13th top 10 finish in 17 races at Texas Motor Speedway. Eric Jones, second, was the highest finishing rookie, and Daniel Suarez leads the point standings by 1 point over Elliott Sadler. And Stephen, if I can, let's see what Kyle Busch had to say in the media center at Texas Motor Speedway after winning the 20th annual O'Reilly Auto Parts 300.
We'll go ahead and get started with our post-race press conference. We're now joined by tonight's winner of the O'Reilly Auto Parts 300, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 NOS Energy Drink Toyota. This is his eighth win in 20 career starts at Texas Motor Speedway in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, his 80th career victory in Xfinity competition. He's looking for the sweep of both April races for the second time in his career during tomorrow night's Duck Commander 500. Kyle, just talk about your night. Another dominating performance here at Texas.
Yeah, we had a really good race car. The NOS Energy Drink Camry was really fast, especially fast on the long runs. There were a couple times there when Eric Jones got to us, and Kyle Larson got to us as well, too, and were able to lead some laps. But overall, I knew we would prevail in the long haul, and it was good. You know, we had a fast car for that, and that's what it took here tonight for being able to run up front and have the laps led that we did. Certainly, we had some good speed on the front side as well, too. But, you know, Chris Gale and the guys, they did a great job. Chris got his money's worth tonight, having to make as many adjustments as he had to make at each and every stop to keep up with the racetrack. So, wasn't an easy one, but, you know, with a smart group of guys, it certainly made it look easy.
As he mentioned, joined by the winning crew chief, Chris Gale, you guys led 150 of 200 laps this evening. A dominating performance. Talk about Kyle and just what you guys have found here at Texas Motor Speedway.
Well, I think it's my first win with Kyle here, Texas Motor Speedway, but obviously we've been on a roll start of this year. I think basically 2 off weeks we had, we talked a little bit about it and thought we had been pretty good on the short runs all year long, but probably our long run had kind of been off, so it's kind of – that was one thing going into tonight that I wanted to be really good at, was just try to have a really good long run car, and thankfully we were able to do that tonight.
We also got another guest with us, the winning owner, Mr. Joe Gibbs. I guess, Joe, the question is, does winning ever get old for you here in Dallas-Fort Worth?
No. Let me say this. We love coming here. A great sports complex, and a lot of our sponsors are here. It's a huge deal for us. We love coming to Dallas. I think it's a premier complex stadium. We appreciate what the Smiths have done here, and it's a huge deal for us. And we got all kind of, I was in hospitalities all night, big deal for us. And so we got a lot of friends down here. Got Nora Miller, Interstate, GameStop, Sport Clips. We got a lot of people here.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and open up for questions. If you could raise your hand, let's start with Jerry.
Jerry Fraley, Dallas Morning News for Kyle. What's it like to win three races and three series in 7 days? Is it a combination of grueling, exhausting, gratifying? I don't know.
No, I mean, it's I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's certainly rewarding. You know, definitely being able to accomplish the things that we've accomplished over the last 7 days has been really good. Being able to score two victories at Martinsville and then, you know, to come here at Texas and to be able to get it done in the next, in the very next race, you know, that's what we live for and that's what we're here for. You know, I think that each and every event we enter, we try to win, try to do what we can, and, you know, hopefully we can again tomorrow with our Interstate Batteries Camry. Feel like our car is pretty good. Could be a tick better, but that's why we got tonight to fix it.
Dominic Cuttigo on the RacingExperts.com. In running tonight's race, how much more of an advantage do you think that gives you compared to your competitors that didn't run tonight's race for tomorrow?
Yeah, I learned a few things. I always do, but, you know, this tire is a little bit different than the Cup tire, but really close, and just kind of learned how it challenged the car and me throughout the run. You know, from the beginning side of the run to the middle to the end, the car was kind of moving around and what lanes to move into in order to get some good speed and things like that. So, you know, I never really ventured too high to run like the wall, but I did find some ways and some techniques to get my car going around the middle part of the racetrack.
So Chris, Daniel, and then Jerry, and then we'll come back to the
league. Chris Knight, catchmans.com. Congratulations on the win. It's four wins in five races, an average finish of 1.2 since you had Noss back on the car. Have you talked to Noss, and what have they said about your dominance so far this season?
They're excited about us continuing to win. You know, I think that it's something that they've wanted to do, which is build that brand and to build the awareness of the Noss brand. And it's so for us being able to go out there and win and lead as many laps as we are, I feel like we're doing our part. You know, there's certain some things that are going on off the track that are pretty exciting behind the scenes that we look forward to being a part of later on down this either this year or the start of next year. So there's some cool things coming in the future with them. But, you know, they're here for the long haul as long as we can do it, and we'll keep going.
Steven, that was Kyle Busch Friday night after he won the race out there at Pigeon. Do you have anything you like to throw in on that?
No, not really. I mean, he's fast. And he's winning everything out there. And, I mean, he's only 30 years old at this point. You know, you take a look at some of his stats, and he's not slowing down at all. I mean, he's, you know, you still got Jimmy Johnson out there. You can look at him. He's, you know, he's in his early 40s, and he's still winning races out there. So if timelines are any indication as to how long Kyle Busch may have as a lifespan in the sport, he's still got another good 10 to 12 or 13 years left underneath of him. And, you know, he's got a lot of races left to win out of him. And, you know, who knows how many games he's going to rack up out there. But, you know, that's a lot. You know, coming into Texas and what, 8 wins out there, something like that already across his career. So, you know, it's I don't think he's going to slow him down. Not at all.
I don't understand. But, you know, there's a lot of folks that do not like him, but I mean, you got to give him credit. He can drive a hell out of a race car. Steven, let us know what went on in the Duck Commander 500 this weekend at Texas Motor Speedway.
Well, same thing that happened in the O'Reilly Horse 300. Kyle Busch won. I mean, well, I mean, same thing happened. I mean, it's really what happened. Kyle Busch won 20th annual Duck Commander 500 out there for 36. Career victory in 397 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races. So, as we just said, he's fast, and a lot of wins go back underneath of him. His second victory in a 6th top 10 finish in 2016. It's also his second victory in 11th top 10 finish in 21 races out there at Texas Motor Speedway in Sprint Cup Series. Dale Earnhardt finished second out there at 17th top 10 in 28 races at Texas, and it's also his 4th top 10 in 2016. Joey Logano finished 3rd, and Chase Elliott, the highest finishing rookie out there. Kyle Busch continues to lead the point standings by 6 over Jimmy Johnson at this point in the season.
And Steven, let's listen to a little bit again. Kyle Busch, just like I was last week with Tom Marquis. Again, let's listen to Kyle Busch in the media center. And we'll listen to a little bit of what he had to say at Texas Motor Speedway.
Effort, you know, Adam Stevens and all these guys, you know, they come here well prepared to start with, and had a good practice plan and everything, and we were able to set up our race car to my liking, and wasn't necessarily the fastest qualifier, but you know, we knew we had a good race car, and the things that we did kind of worried me actually for about the first two thirds of the race. Just not the track wasn't necessarily really coming to us, but then all of a sudden it took a shift and things did come to us, and we had a really good car there at the end. So Adam made some awesome adjustments all night long though, and kept us in the game and kept getting us better, and you know, took us from probably being a 6th-8th place car, something like that, to then being able to run up front in the top three, and barring different tire circumstances or different restart circumstances at the end, you know, giving us a shot to win. So hats off to those guys on the pit box and being able to get us here tonight with Interstate Batteries being in victory lane.
And as Kyle mentioned, we're now joined by the winning crew chief, Adam Stevens. Adam, talk about the pit strategy that you guys made. Others decided to go in different directions. It's obviously paid off for you. Talk about that.
Well, everything was really straightforward until we had that short run there at the end and kind of hung the 78 and Martin and Cole out there. If they were in a bad spot, being the leader, having the 4 green flag laps on the tires, the thing that made that a little bit easier, obviously, was we had so many sets on the ground because we had some longer runs prior to that. So we were ahead of schedule on tire usage. So and the guys behind us were really fighting their cars. So we knew most of them were going to be looking to pit road. And when we saw them all dive down, it was a easy call to come to pit road and get some tires.
And we're joined by winning crew chief Joe Gibbs. Joe, winning owner. Joe Gibbs.
I'll take it. I'll take the crew chief thing.
More importantly, winning, and that's what your driver has been doing a lot of.
That's right.
Just talk about that run. Again, this incredible run that he's been on.
Well, the first thing I want to mention, it's hard to get a chemistry, you know, like Adam and Kyle have. I think they developed it. I think over our Xfinity program and everything that happened there. But to get them up and do what they did last year, Adam's first year. Just really, I think it's a special chemistry that they have, and I think it shows up week after week. So a big thanks to them for that and all the hard work that Adam puts into that. Our pit crew, too, our guys that work in that area, we spend a lot of time on that. It's a big deal for us, and it really pays off, and it was, I think, a great night for the guys going over the wall. I want to say we love coming here. So many of our sponsors were here yesterday and today. It's a huge deal for us. Obviously, to win here for Interstate at home, Norm, that's a thrill for him, and he certainly deserves it. We talked about him last night, how much he means to our team and the fact that we probably wouldn't be here or be in racing if it wasn't for him. So it was a thrill for Interstate. We got M&M's, called them, and just thanked them because they're the major sponsor on the car, and they get to celebrate every victory we have. So huge, huge night for us. I wished everybody back home that works on the cars and do all that hard work at home, I wish they could be here with us and celebrate. But I want to say a thanks to them. The fun thing about this is all the people that get to go with you.
Let's open up for questions. Start with Holly.
Kyle, we got some statistics this evening. Since you came back, you've led over 1,200 laps. This is your 6th Cup win, and you have 21 top 10 finishes.
7th Cup win.
17.
7 Cup wins.
7 Cup wins. Okay. They told us this before you got the checkered flag. You're right. I stand corrected. My point being, though,
yes.
Is it even amazing to you what you've been able to do coming back from such a serious injury?
It is, you know, and I think that it's just a part of everyone coming together. I think it's a part of the whole team. You know, it's not just me. It's not just Samantha, but, you know, it's Adam Stevens. It's Coach Gibbs. It's the organization and everyone rallying around us. It's my medical team, everyone that helped me as well, too, getting me healthy again and forcing me to do the therapies and things like that and getting up in the morning and going and trying to get better faster. And I think, too, it's just things are clicking. Things are gelling, you know, and it wouldn't be possible with probably like Joe mentioned, without the relationship that Adam and I were able to spend gathering and gaining together in the Xfinity Series. And, you know, if we would have came into this Cup deal not really knowing each other, it probably wouldn't have been as good as it was. So I think that has been a huge part of it as well, too. So, you know, it's all worked real well, and it's been exciting to have the success that we've had as of late, and let's just keep it going.
Let's go up to the press box.
ChrisKnightKetchmans.com. Congratulations, Kyle. Tonight you became the second driver since Harry Gant in 1991 to sweep two National Series weekends in back-to-back weekends. What is the magic for the JGR organization on both fronts, and do you feel like you can make it three next weekend at Bristol?
I think the magic's Kyle Busch, but that's just me. Right, Joe?
Just when I thought you were starting to really freak out on me.
Yeah, exactly. I'd admit, I just think it's everything. I mean, you got to have all the pieces of the puzzle put together. But more importantly, I think, you know, we've got good cars, but the crew chiefs are just doing a really good job right now. I think just being able to apply all the things that we've learned over the couple of years, and we knew we were behind. And when we were struggling a couple of years ago, when we were behind, we were working in all areas of the race car and trying to make it better, trying to make it better. And we knew TRD was behind a little bit. And when those guys caught up, man, it was easy. It was easy for us to gain speed, because that's a huge proponent of what we do each and every weekend, which is that engine. So, you know, now I feel like the TRD guys are on top of their game as well. So we've got everything going for us. The cars are good, engines are good, and crew chiefs are smart. So, again, whole puzzle.
And, Stephen, I mean, you know, it's been all over social media. It's been all over everything that we even know about. Kyle Busch has been on a tear these past couple of weeks. You know, he won the Sprint Cup Championship last year. But as a whole, Stephen, what is your take on Joe Gibbs racing? Kyle Busch having so much success. Well, I mean, where does this leave Carl Edwards and Denny Hamlin? Are they? I mean, what's the deal going on there, Stephen? Can you let us know, or can you give us your thoughts on that, on Joe Gibbs race?
Yeah, I think really right now, Carl Edwards, Denny Hamlin, and Matt Kenseth, they're really behind the eight ball at this point. You know, I think even back to 2015 also, you look across the summer strips right there when, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing as a whole across the organization, they were really, really good. You had Denny Hamlin winning. You had Carl Edwards winning there at Darlington. You had Matt Kenseth out there. You had Kyle Busch just winning every other week. And it just seemed like JGR was the team to beat throughout the summer stretch in 2015. And those guys seemed to be on top of their game. On top of their game the entire summer series. And then all of a sudden, when they got to the chase, they completely just fell apart. It was just one thing after the other. And then the Kenseth incident, and then we just didn't think that any of them, one by one, were falling out of the chase. And, you know, obviously, it got down to Kyle Busch winning for Toyota for the first time ever, Sprint Cup Series Championship, and Joe Gibbs Racing, you know. So, you know, they came into 2016, and they've been very strong this year. Well, Kyle Busch has been strong. And Denny Hamlin did start the year off. He won both the Sprint Unlimited. He won the Daytona 500 back-to-back on that weekend. And Joe Gibbs Racing seemed to be very, very strong. But since that time, it's really just been the Kyle Busch show, both on the Xfinity side and really in the Sprint Cup Series side. And, you know, everybody else is kind of fell back. Danny has had a little bit of sparks of brilliance here and there. Matt Kenseth has had little sparks of brilliance here and there of his own self. But overall, as an organization, it's really been Kyle Busch kind of leading the charge and leading the way this year. And I think a lot of it is that these guys are going to have to step up and figure out what's going on with their programs as a whole. You know, Kyle Busch just can't be the only one there, you know, winning races every other week for Joe Gibbs Racing. You know, everybody else has to, you know, figure out their own program. And I think we talk a lot, not only just, you know, there at Joe Gibbs Racing, but we talk about this a lot of times with other organizations too. You know, we used to talk about this a lot with Hendrick Motorsports, whereas, you know, a particular driver with Jimmy Johnson, he may win a lot there, but, you know, Casey Kane is that driver at the bottom of the rung that just isn't winning a lot, just doesn't have that program put together no matter what the resources are there that, you know, are being, you know, given to him. And, you know, it's not necessarily hedging his racing for lack of trying, a lack of engineering, a lack of sponsorship, lack of money. You know, TRD is behind them. They've got everything that's there. You know, it just seems that the competition level is just every year it just gets closer and closer together. I mean, closer and closer with these drivers, the cars, the engines, the everything that there is within the series. No, and then you'd also take a look in 2016. We've also debuted the new car with the different downforce, lower downforce, and it just seems that some drivers are really taking these cars, and Kyle Busch seems to be that driver that has really been a driver that has clung to this new car and has been able to show a lot of brilliance with the new car, the lower downforce, and been able to do more with it than maybe Matt Kenseth or Carl Edwards has at this point. And, you know, it is a learning curve, and, you know, we still do have a lot of races left in the season, and we'll see that come along. We've got first of this week, obviously, a short track followed by Richmond, and, you know, really, you know, by all intents and purposes, you know, downforce doesn't really particularly mean a whole lot, means some, but not as much as it means somewhere like Texas or Las Vegas or Atlanta or Auto Club Speedway or something like that. But, you know, the next two races are, you know, more about the car than it is really downforce. And, you know, that'll give a driver like Denny Hamlin, somebody that, you know, has been good and short track, obviously, with his wins at Martinsville and years past, that, you know, give them an opportunity to catch back up and, you know, get back into the loop there at Big Ends Racing. But, you know, as we know, it's competition is just so close together these days. It's just really hard sometimes, you know, for everybody to be on the same level, no matter whether they're with the same team or not.
Yeah. Stephen, let's take a little quick break before the bottom of the hour. You're in the pit stop with Tim Spain, Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Number to call is 215-383-3681. We'll be right back.
Every time you kiss me, it's like sunshine and whiskey.
Chilling on the beach with my sweet Georgia peach, not a care in the world, just trying to beat the heat. Body like an hourglass, sand on the feet, can't help but stare, cause I got the best seat. Just when I thought it couldn't get any hotter, you slid on in, said I'm a little hot and bothered, if you know what I mean. Let's crank it up to 100 degrees, alright. You hit me like fire, shot me like a bullet, burn me up and down, no way to cool it. Every time you kiss me, it's like sunshine and whiskey. Like a bottle of Jack, straight to the head. One shot, two shot, copper tone red. Every time you kiss me, it's like sunshine. Up loud. You give me that look, you lick them lips and say, hang on baby, better pull over for this. Don't wanna get a DWK, driving while kissing, they'll put you away. You hit me like fire, shot me like a bullet, burn me up and down, no way to cool it. Every time you kiss me, it's like sunshine and whiskey. Like a bottle of Jack, straight through the head. One shot, two shot, copper tone red. Every time you kiss me, sunshine. Every time you kiss me, it's like sunshine. Every time you kiss me, it's like sunshine.
Waking up to smells of burnt rubber, smoldering campfire, and barbecue sauce. I was there. Cheering on the drivers you love and booing the ones you don't. While watching them battle the baddest track in NASCAR. You can bet I was there. Escape reality for a weekend at Talladega.
Experience the Geico 500 April 29th through May 1st. Call 877-GO-TO-DEGA or visit TalladegaSuperspeedway.com.
Good evening from Dega Nation. I'm Tim Despain alongside a good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson. Stephen, we're back. We're waiting on our guest to come over. I think he might be coming on now. But just real quick before Matt comes on, there's a lot of talk about the five lug nut deal now. You know, I listen to a lot of serious XM NASCAR stuff. Stephen, there's a lot of them that's not putting off, or not tightening all five lug nuts up.
Yeah, you know, NASCAR, since they've gone to the electronic cameras, you know, one of the rules that they really did change was is that they no longer really police the five lug nuts, and they've moved that rule from the rule book where you don't have to tighten those five lugs and the lugs down. They really give it to the team on what they decide they want to put on. And, you know, here at Texas, Fox was showing a lot of teams that were only going with three or four lugs on it. And, you know, at one point, I believe it was Matt Kenseth's team during the race, only had one lug tight. He had to come back in, he had to pit, and that put him behind on a green flag pit stop. You had other teams out there that were wearing down, getting vibrations. Brad Keselowski was one of the drivers out there, a couple others also experiencing the same exact thing. By going with three or four lug pattern onto this, you know, the argument can be made where, you know, a lot of these drivers are trying to make 11-second pit stop. They're trying to gain track position. They're trying to get every second they can. And, you know, by cutting down on the number of lugs that they put onto this, it's just a way for them to get by and cut down those pit times. You know, it's an advantage, you know, by all means on getting that track position. However, it comes with its consequences, and we continue to see it week in and week out with a lot of loose tires, a lot of vibrations. And, you know, I think, Goodyear has continued to say, NASCAR has continued to say, you know, we're not going to police this, but, you know, you have to live with the consequences of your actions if it causes issues. And we continue, like I said, we continue to see it every week. A lot of drivers continue to be put behind and have to come back in on green flag stops or, you know, the case, whatever the case may be. I do think, unfortunately, with the way that the electronic pits have been bought in, they've cut the number of officials on pit row. I think it's going to be very hard for them to go back to policing this. Could it be possible? They could definitely look at it on one side of the car, but it, you know, with the officials not going over the walls, it's going to make it very hard for officials to really see everything that's going on and see if they're getting all 20 lugs on these wheels these days or not. And, well, you know, there's consequences. And I think these drivers are seeing that, and it's really going to be up to the teams to police themselves.
Yeah, and we got our guest right here waiting. We can probably ask him the same question. Let's bring up driver of the number 83 Toyota, the number 83 Cosmos Motors Toyota for BK Racing and Ron Devine, Mr. Matt DeBeno in the pit stop. Kim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Matt, how you doing tonight, bud?
Hey, doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Hey, thanks for taking time out to come in and talk on the radio show. I know y'all getting ready to head to Bristol, but Stephen and I were just talking about before I quietly, it's fresh on our mind. We were talking about the five lug nut stuff, and some of the teams are doing three as far as tightening them up. And I don't know if you want to let the cat out of the bag, but what do you think about this lug nut deal? Do you think NASCAR needs to police it a little more, or do you think it's – which I think, Matt, I think from what the rule book says when they implemented this, if a tire comes off, the crew chief will get fined $50,000.
Yeah, you know, that's like you were saying. I mean, it's just we're going to pretty much bend the rules as much as we can on anything possible. So when it comes to that, though, I mean, as a driver, it would definitely be more comforting to have, you know, five lug nuts on. But I think if they, you know, I wouldn't mind if they policed it where you do need have to run five for ease of mind as a driver. But, you know, either way, the rules are what they are, and it's the same for everybody, so it's not a huge deal. But, you know, everybody's going to definitely just push the envelope on anything that they can because pit stops are so crucial, and, you know, saving a half second on a pit stop corresponds to quite a bit of time out on the racetrack.
Yeah, and you know, Matt, you know, you could take like at Martinsville, you know, you could take, say, if you had a green white checker, you know, you could come in. This is just me trying to calculate stuff. If you took on four tires, if everybody had to pit before they done the green white checker, you could maybe tighten two to three lug nuts. And I don't know what the time would be, but I mean, if somebody put on forward tight effort, you could beat them out and maybe gain four, five, six positions, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it may not be quite that much, but I mean, you could definitely gain, you know, a heck of one, two spots at a place like that is huge. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, we're pretty much going to do anything we can to bend the rules and, as much as we can, just because it's so competitive, you really just have to do everything that you can.
Yeah, and that's just like Larry McReynolds told me years ago, Matt. If you're not trying to bend the rules, you're not doing your job as a crew chief.
Exactly. That's we're, you know, pretty much to be competitive, you got to find a gray area on anything and everything that you can, and it's you got engineers that work on that all day, every day.
Yeah. And, man, I don't want to take up all the questions because I got Stephen Wilson sitting over here beside me waiting to come on. But, man, you run double duty last weekend at Texas. You're also going to run double duty this weekend at Bristol. I've seen a lot of chatter on social media lately. Does that help a cup driver gain or maybe not gain so much as not being able to spend as much time with his Sprint Cup team for the cup race?
You know, I've been kind of trying to figure that out myself. I think there's good and bad to it. You know, it's definitely more track time. It is always a good thing because sometimes we will unload first thing in practice. Our first practice will unload in qualifying trim. So, you know, right off the bat, you're going out making mock runs in the cup car, and that's, you know, bigger, some faster tracks like Texas or something that can be a little hairy to go out and do your first. You know, it doesn't bother me by all means. I'm kind of a go out and go wide open kind of guy. I'm always kind of 120%. But, you know, still, if you can get on the track beforehand and run some Xfinity stuff, it just makes it a little bit more comfortable your first lap out. And, you know, if you can run in a decent car, decent Xfinity car, it'll give you a kind of a, you know, some indicators of how the track's going to change for the cup race, you know, some what lines or little things you can do to be better. It helps you getting on and off pit road because you get a little extra practice at that in a race situation. So, but then again, you know, it does take a little bit of time away from you on the cup side. So there's good and bad to it. I mean, if it's a good, you know, decent car, I definitely would say it's probably worth doing. But you know, honestly, either way, I think doesn't affect performance too much at the end of the day.
10-4, man. And my final question for you, before I throw you over to Steven. At Martinsville, just to let some of our listeners know, turns 1, 2, 3, and 4 are concrete. And the Goodyear tire from the time, I can't remember what it was, but it didn't seem like the concrete was taking rubber, man. Is that some of the new the new compound, or was it just because it was a little bit cooler?
Yeah, we were actually all a little bit surprised at that. It was a little odd that it didn't, you know, because last year it did, track did take quite a bit of rubber, and your car almost feels like it can skate across the racetrack when you hit big, thick patches of rubber. Bristol does that as well sometimes. But yeah, it didn't take the rubber like we were expecting, and I would assume that's more of a tire compound thing than weather related. You know, it's still made for great racing and nothing crazy noticeable on our end as far as, you know, driving. It was just a little different that it didn't take rubber compared to years past.
Yeah. And Matt, again, I want to thank you very much for taking time to come out on the show, and thank you for having our little pit stop logo right there in front of the rear tire. We so appreciate it. And Suzanne and I will see you and Ron and David, everybody in Dagan. I think Stephen's going to Richmond. But thanks again, Matt. We appreciate you. And I'm going to hand you over to Stephen Wilson. I'm going to take a pit stop, Stephen. I'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Well, Matt, I appreciate taking time to come on here tonight. You know, one of the questions a lot of times that people do ask, and, you know, the drivers a lot of times don't always get the time to get to answer this, is you take a rain delay like you had at Texas about 2 hours out there. It kind of throws a driver off because it changes not only the car, but it changes the way that the track is going to race over the nighttime. You set the car off one way expecting to go racing at a particular time. The engineers already know how it's going to race based on previous notes. You as a driver that had may have been there before are expecting it to race one way, but then you have to deal with a rain delay that, you know, in this case, it's just about a little over 2 hours or so in Texas this past weekend. When you run into situations such as that, how does that change the way that you not only work with your team within those 2 hour period or whatever the rain delay period is to change the race that's going to come ahead of you over the next year, this past weekend, 334 laps, and the way that the team themselves and the engineers are going to work with you to change the car over the next, you know, couple hundred laps to get the car back into a shape that you know, would be better suited for you because of that short rain delay or a longer rain delay because you've been pushed off into a later night with cooler temperatures.
Honestly, my answer may not be exactly what you're fishing for or as exciting as you would think, but you know, honestly, for the drivers, maybe it's just me, but I think most of us are more so just a lot of them just went back to the bus, and we were just more so extremely bored and killing time than anything. I think it's just kind of the same situation for everybody. So, you know, other than just kind of being bored and anxious and wanting to just get out there, you know, not too much changes, not as much as you would think. You know, I would say everybody just kind of, we just all play hurry up and wait. And as far as track conditions, I mean, it does wash the rubber off, so that'll change a little bit. Some tracks are different, but a lot of times it might free up the track, or track will be real fast with no grip on it. So, you know, it may change a few things because the engineers anticipated the track to be this speed, but then at first with it having no rubber, we're going to be a little faster, so the car might travel a little more. It might hit the racetrack. It might hit the splitter a little bit because it's going to be faster than they were planning. You know, maybe a few little things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, everybody's really kind of in the same situation, and we kind of just play a game of hurry up and wait and just hope it goes away so we can, you know, we're just eager to get on the racetrack and get going is honestly about all.
And then over the next, really just starting in Martinsville just about 2 weeks ago, then you're going to go to Bristol this week, Richmond next week, three different styles of short tracks out there, a very flat style, high bank, and a three-quarter short track in Richmond. So you really get three different styles of short tracks out there. They're really close together within the schedule themselves at this time of the year. How does that play in and help you out as a driver to have three different short tracks at this close together early on in the schedule out there?
You know, I think really everywhere we go, we just, you know, we just enjoy running anywhere no matter what it is. But, you know, as drivers, we all enjoy doing different things and going to different style racetracks so that, I think the short tracks are, for most of us, are a cool, fun change, just kind of like going to to road courses is the same sort of thing. You know, we all enjoy it, and it's just a change. So it's just something different. But then after you run some short track, then, you know, maybe we'll be excited to go back to our, you know, mile and a half. And then after you do that, we'll be excited to go to some road courses. You know, it's just, it's good that the schedule is always kind of changing up. And, all the short tracks in a row are can be cool, or it can also be real brutal because the short tracks can be tough. So, you can have, hopefully that luck is on your side and you can finish clean in them. So, we just kind of enjoy going to different places, and it's a nice little change to hit some short tracks and feel like we're back in the older days for a little bit.
You know, Tim had mentioned earlier that you're going to run double duty this weekend, and this is going to be the first time in Xfinity competition that they're going to run the Dash for Dashes, especially with these heat races out there. It's the first one of the year in 2016, and they're going to run it again at Richmond the following week. But you're going to get to experience it here at Bristol with the heat races and then the main feature out there that is really just going to be unique and kind of sort of what they do at Eldora. But you know, when you start to look at this and start to plan your way around what they're going to do, and this is obviously going to be something new for a lot of these drivers that are going to hit Bristol and they're going to be out there racing, and they're going to kind of be really in the same boat about how you're going to strategize to run these heat races and then get into the main race. When you look at it as a driver and get ready to plan out for this, what is your main goal that you're looking at first trying to do? And then secondly, what do you think the hardest part about it is, just knowing that you're going to be in the same boat as everybody else just trying to figure this whole thing out?
This weekend, my, I don't know how to word it properly, but on the Xfinity side, I'm going to be filling in for Jeff Green over at TriStar, and, I'm not sure our main goal over there is really just going to be to make the race and make it into the race. My main focus is really going to be on the Cup side. But as far as a fan or spectator, watching the Xfinity race and, the heat races in that format, I don't know, really nobody knows exactly what to expect, but I think it's going to be cool. It's a cool change. It's, it'll be neat. I think it's good. It's cool to change things up like that. But I think it'll be good. It'll provide for some good racing, and then it makes the feature kind of, a little bit shorter and a little more exciting, and, people will have to go a little bit more right off the bat. So it's, I think it'll be cool, and everybody, will kind of find out a lot more this weekend.
And my final question before I let you get go out of here tonight, you looking over the rest of the season out here, obviously you got Bristol this weekend, Richmond, and then we've been a long stretch of going through the summer, obviously. But as you look forward to the next couple of months out here and the schedule ahead for you in the next part of the Sprint Cup Series season, what part of the season are you most looking forward to out there? What do you think is going to play to your strength in the season?
I haven't quite figured that out yet this year, because we've had some good runs at some real different places. At Daytona, when we had a TRD engine under the hood and all, we were really fast in our dual race, which was cool. We finished ninth, I believe. But then at Phoenix, we finished in the top 20 there, which was, a great solid finish for us. And then we went to a play, Phoenix is more of a short track. Then after that, we went to California and to Auto Club Speedway, and we could have finished around the 15th, 16th area. We had a really, really fast car there. I mean, our car was handling unbelievable. And I messed us up and got a pit road penalty, lost two laps, and we finished 27th. So I was very disappointed with myself. But at the end of the day, we had a really good car there. We struggled big time at Texas. I'm not sure what's going to be our biggest strengths this year as far as racetracks. I look forward to the road courses because I think we have some good road course cars. And I really enjoy going to those, and that kind of evens up field a little bit. So I'd say, you know, those will be some good ones for us. And Bristol is usually a place where if you just get your car handling well, that's kind of the main thing there. And it can, same deal, you know, I finished 21st there last year in the spring race. It's kind of a place that evens out the field. So I don't have a good answer for you on what places or what stretch would be the best or I'm looking forward to the most, because I like kind of going to a little bit everywhere. When I go to a short track, I enjoy it, but then I'm ready to go to a mile and a half. When I go to that, I enjoy it, but then I'm ready to go to, you know, a road course. So I just like it being different every week. And but I don't know which ones really play to our advantage the best yet, because I feel like we're a little too early in the season to tell on average which ones seem to suit us the best.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight and talk with us. Good luck this weekend in Bristol, and I will be in Richmond next week. I'll try and stop by. But before we let you go out of here, please let everybody know how they follow you on social media, and thank your sponsors before you get out of here. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate it. If anyone wants to follow me, they can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is MattDRacing. And be sure to follow my sponsor, Cosmo Motors, on Facebook. And they are local to me in Hickory, North Carolina. And also Dustless Blasting. You can follow them on Twitter and Facebook as well.
Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Hey, good luck this weekend at Bristol.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Stephen, that was Matt Benedetto, driver of the number 83 Cosmos Motors, BK Racing Toyota. There's been a lot of talk, Stephen. I mean, I hate to keep talking on this. I listen to a lot of SiriusXM radio. I check a lot of social media. There's a lot of people talking about this Matt DiBenedetto. I mean, you got Talladega coming up after Richmond. You got Daytona coming up in July. I mean, you know, you win, you're in the 2016 Chase for the Sprint Cup. Like he said, he's had some decent runs, and he said he screwed some stuff up on his own. But, I mean, this young guy right here, I mean, he's coming up through the ranks, Steve.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the way that the whole when you're in thing, anybody has the chance. And the way that NASCAR has really cut the field down this year, it's opened up the field even more for a lot of these drivers that in the past, struggled in the past. But, yeah, I mean, when you talk about Matt, he was just talking about how some of the good runs that he's had in the past, he this year already, he finished ninth in one of his races earlier this year at the Daytona, and finished, I think he said 20th or 21st at Bristol last year. So, I mean, he's got some races coming up that you look at BK Racing as a whole, they've brought on a lot of engineers from NWR, bought a lot of their cars, a lot of their equipment, things like that. And they're making the strides, they're making the gains, and they're really building themselves up, and it's starting to pay dividends for them. It's like anything else in NASCAR. Joe Gibbs Racing, everybody else, they've all had to work their way to the top, and none of it came very easy, none of it came overnight. And, it's all about putting the right team together, getting the right equipment, the engineers, and everybody putting together and really just working together. And that's what BK Racing is really starting to do. And I think that's, for them, it's coming together.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, Steve. Yeah, BK Racing, they're also coming together. And Ryan Ellis is going to be running a BK Racing car at Richmond, correct?
Yes, I believe he's running it at Richmond.
Okay. And, Stephen, do you have any breaking news or anything you want to share? Would you like to talk about anything as far as the Hall of Fame, the 2016 Hall of Fame voting coming up? Anything you want to discuss about that or anything you got to pull up?
No, nothing really going on right now. There hasn't been any breaking news, and I have not seen if they have put out any penalties this week or not. And I was late to the game last week. It looked like they only put out a couple of written warnings last week for Kyle Busch and I think somebody else. But, I don't think there's been any penalty this week.
I hadn't either. I hadn't got the email from NASCAR either. But, Stephen, do you want to cover the schedule of events this weekend or you want me to read them off?
I'll let you go ahead and do that because I didn't have it up.
Okay. Just to let our listeners know, I always me and Stephen always print everything out just in case one of the other has something come up. But just let everybody know, Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend, Friday. All times are Easter. Friday, the Sprint Cup Series will be qualified at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Fox Sports 1 has your TV, PRN has your radio. And also, Friday afternoon, K&N Pro Series East qualifies at 7:30, but there's no TV or no radio. Saturday morning, Xfinity Series qualifying, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Fox Sports 1 has your TV. Now, here we get into them heat races, Steven. Xfinity Series heat race number one, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Fox Sports 1 has your TV, PRN has your radio. Xfinity Series heat race number two, this person will have to read anything like this. Approximately 1:10 p.m. Eastern Time, Fox Sports 1, PRN has your radio. Xfinity Series feature, this is the main, 1:45 p.m. approximately, Fox Sports 1 has your TV, PRN has your radio. And then after them heat races and deal with Xfinity Series, K&N Pro Series East, pit dot light 125 at 4:30 p.m. approximately again. And then on Sunday, Sprint Cup Series, Food City 500 at 1 p.m. Fox has your TV. PRN has your radio. All that right there, courtesy to my good friends at MRN. Stephen, do you have any last thoughts?
We're going to do the Xfinity deal this week. We're going to do it again next week in Richmond. So it's going to be a good thing. I think it's going to be interesting. Matt was thought it was going to be a good deal. It's going to be something different. I think it's going to be interesting not only for the fans, I think it's going to be interesting for the drivers. It's all around, it's going to be something different as a whole. We're going to get to see something, and everybody's really just going to have to be up on top of the wheel right from the get-go. It's not going to be something where you're just going to be able to ride around the track for a little while and get your car in gear and, work on your car for a little while and, go out there, run the last quarter, half, third of the race and, go out and win this thing. You're really just going to have to be on the wheel from the get-go straight to the end. And I really think this is going to change a lot of what you're going to see in the racing and the competitiveness and Bristol. We know how people can get angry and tempers can flare. We saw that at Martinsville. We may see a few angry tempers come out there at Bristol this weekend.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Stephen. And before we end tonight, next week, Tuesday, 7:30 Eastern Time, you have from Richmond International Raceway, Dennis Pickmeyer coming on. He's going to talk about his upcoming show that you and AM are going to attend. And, Stephen, before we let you go, let everybody know if they can follow you on social media, and we will be live again on Vega Nation next Tuesday night with Dennis Pickmeyer from Michigan.
Follow us at Speedway Digest, SpeedwayDigest.com, and Facebook.com/SpeedwayDigest.
Stephen, that sounds good. Thank you very much. Until next Tuesday, tell AM and the boys we said hello. And we'll talk at you next week. Blood Live from Talladega, Alabama. We're signing off.
waking up to smells of burnt rubber, smoldering campfire, and barbecue sauce. I was there, cheering on the drivers you love and booing the ones you don't, while watching them battle the baddest track in NASCAR. You can bet I was there. Escape reality for a weekend at Talladega.
Experience the Geico 500 April 29th through May 1st. Call 877-GO-TO-DEGA or visit TalladegaSuperspeedway.com.